This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning I'll be teaching my first of 5 series on the topic True Submission. Oftentimes when we hear people talk about submission, it paints a picture that is untrue to the gospel. Several people interpreted it to mean the subjugation of one, or the oppression of one, or servitude of one as pitted against the other. When we talk of it, especially in the context of marriage, it seems automatic condemnation of the woman, the wife, in the marriage to a life of a lowly slave who has no impute, who just has to be like a puppet, following gullibly the leading of the husband. Because English was not the original language in which the scripture was preached, it wasn't even the second or the third. The original context of the language in which we interpreted for so many years into English language came from the Hebrew tongue, Aramaic. And then they interpreted to Latin, to this, to that. It went through so many processes. And with that, it also went through a lot of cultural changes over the years. In Israel, as at when the gospel was preached and Apostle Paul wrote about submission, they were practicing patriarchy, in which they had, the men had absolute control of every society, and the women are seen as the weaker vessel. And as time went on, we came into the Dark Ages in Europe, where again the scriptures was used by many to push a lot of their belief systems based on the current time they were in at the time. But if we look at scripture the right way, we will see Jesus as the perfect picture of submission. Jesus himself, the perfect picture of submission. Who did he submit to? Submitted to God. But when you look at the life of Jesus, you saw a man in charge. You saw God on the earth. You saw how he handled situations perfectly well. As a son of God, even though he was submitted to God, the Bible said it, even though he was equal with God, he didn't deem it fit or worthy to exalt himself. He submitted. That is the book of Philippians. So then, a lot of the time, people then do not understand what submission is, because the practical example of Jesus when it comes to submission and the way submission is practiced, especially in marriage, are two conflicting notions. One of those things that happens when you give a theoretical definition and then you look at the practical demonstration and they don't fit. Because theory was supposed to demonstrate, to be demonstrated in the practical. If you tell me 1 + 1 = 2, you write it on the chalkboard, then you take a pen and another pen, you put them together and you tell me this is true, that is the practical. The picture of submission and the theory of submission, as it is practiced or preached all over Christendom, do not fit into the category of Jesus and God. It fitted more into the category of a master and a slave. And Jesus was never slave to God. Jesus was the Son of God, equal with God. Till tomorrow we call him triune. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we know that the three of them are Adonai together. And therefore, to understand submission properly, Let's look at scripture. Submission to a wicked ruler, for example, will show you the picture of Joseph and Pharaoh, or the picture of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. In the two examples, you will see somebody who is full of the Spirit of God, who is a man of God, somebody God has appointed, a prophet of God, in the guise of Joseph and Daniel. And then you will see a wicked ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, you will see Pharaoh. Power resided with the ruler, but the power, the true power to direct policy, resided with the advisor. See? So when you talk of submission and people say, oh, what if I'm married to somebody that is very wicked, somebody that does not listen, somebody that is egocentric, somebody that is demonic, somebody that is full of himself, who doesn't listen to anything. The reason those kind of marriages have all sorts of issues is because the art of submission had been reduced to confrontation. There is no place in the scriptures where you will see Daniel confronting any of the kings he served, arguing with the king, fighting the king, telling the king, you don't listen, you are dumb. No. You will never see Joseph talk to Pharaoh that way. You will never see Daniel talk to Nebuchadnezzar that way. Daniel did not talk to Darius that way. No, nobody. In fact, in the days of David, when even David did all the terrible things he did in scripture, you will never see Absalom. No. Sorry. You never see Hushai talk to David like that. Somebody should remind me of the name of that one that hanged himself. I'm trying to remember his name. Who can? That one that David said that the cast Ahithophel. Thank you, sir. Ahithophel. So that Ahithophel also is a counselor to David. You will notice that there was no time that, even though the advisor could be smarter than the king, he understood where the power resided. But he also understood that without his guidance, the king was going to go into trouble. But he does not go confrontational. Jesus never confronted God for anything. Even when he wanted to change the cup, what he did was to plead. Wisdom gives the power to the one who resides, who has the ability to influence the one with the power. So the king had the true power, but the advisors had the power to influence policy. They had the power to speak to authority, not in a confrontational way. They found the key to the heart of power, and were able to wield it as they desired, right? And that is the power that is in submission. Submission is not being foolish. Submission, when it goes confrontational, becomes competitive. When it goes confrontational and you have to tell maybe your husband that, oh, you don't listen, that's what I told you last week, I told you 2 weeks ago. When you go in that direction, you are not exhibiting wisdom. You see, because like the examples I gave you, there was no point. The only time Daniel ever spoke to a king in a rude manner was when Daniel was already 80 years old and he was going to talk to King Belshazzar. Belshazzar was a young king, and Belshazzar did not appoint Daniel as his advisor. If you read the book of Daniel, chapter 5, Belshazzar was a young king. He retired all the old advisors, he retired everybody. He took on new young advisors, and they came into a season of enjoyment, and they said they should bring the cup out of the out the cup from Jerusalem out, that they want to use it to drink. You probably would have you have to consider the conversation they had before he specifically asked for the cup from the temple of God, just to prove to the people there that he's king and that there is no superstition or no myth that he couldn't break. And then he saw the handwriting on the wall, and nobody could unravel it. And then his mother came and said to him, "Go and find Daniel." So you see, when they brought Daniel in, and then he told the king, "I will give you this." He told Daniel, "I will give you this, I will give you that." Daniel said, "I do not want anything from you, O king. Keep your gifts." The reason he spoke like that was because he was no longer under that king's authority. He had been retired. He was not an official. It's like somebody that is divorced. They now went to bring the ex-wife back to come and help the husband. So no longer under submission to this king, so he could speak like that. But all the other kings he served, he never spoke to them in that manner. Even when Nebuchadnezzar became proud and he stood on the balcony of his palace and he said, "Look at what I've accomplished. I've conquered half of the world. I've done this, I've done that." And at that moment, he heard a voice, and he had a premonition, and he sent for Daniel immediately. He said, "This is what I saw." And Daniel told him, Daniel said, oh king, you are proud. You are proud. These things you are talking about is not making God happy. God will punish you for 7 years if you don't humble yourself." You will see the tone Daniel took, even when he was addressing the foolishness of King Nebuchadnezzar. You will see the tone he took, because wisdom has nothing to gain in wearing a boxing glove and saying you want to box somebody that is powerful. In every way, the witty person always outsmarts the one with the one with the huge chest. Wisdom is always greater than brute force. And so when I see women who want to go toe to toe with their husband with brute force, with all sort of guile and cunning and insult and standing shoulder to shoulder, "Oh, I will deal with you. You don't know how we are. It is, you will come and meet me here." Again, totally against the power that is in the office that you are supposed to wield. The best examples of submission are Daniel, Joseph. Look at Joseph, the way he dealt with the king. He gave him his respect, but who was actually in charge of the whole affairs was Joseph. But he honored the king, allowed the king to just stay in his palace and be doing whatever foolishness he was doing. But he eased the king. You see the way he brought his family into Egypt with respect to the king. He didn't play any role that assumed that he gave himself power or he abrogated power unto himself, even though everybody in Israel knew that he could do whatever he wanted. Yet he did everything in such a way that he honored the king, even though he was a prime minister. That is the picture of true submission, when you are with somebody that does not listen. So when people say, "Oh, my main guy, my husband does not want to lead the family. He does not like to pray. He's not the priest of our household." So when you go to church and the pastors are saying, "Men must be priest of their household," don't listen to them that way. Don't be listening to people. No, people preach. I also preach. I'm more careful with my words now, because I know that not everybody would weigh my words with wisdom. Some people will just listen to you literally, and they will then want to enforce it literally. So, okay, they say, "Men are supposed to be the priest of the household." All right, so what about somebody that's a single mother? What about somebody that's a widow? Where is the man that will be the priest of the household there? Where? These roles that we abrogate to specific gender based on one being male, one being female, they are not that straight lined. Daniel was the priest over the whole of Babylon. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar that was the priest. Daniel was the one that was having interaction with angels, that was seeing the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia. It was Daniel that was the priest over the whole of the land. And it was not the king. Joseph was the priest over Egypt. He was not the king. Oh, it is good to have a king like David, who is a priest, who is a king. Oh, beautiful. But not all marriages are like that. In some marriages, the husband is not going to be the priest. But then, because pastor has said the role of the man is to be head and the priest of the house, then the wife then takes offense. So it then begins to resent the husband. You are not praying over me. Yeah, we are supposed to be joining our hands together every day and be praying. There is no rule. All these things that everybody think is a formula. Like there's one formula. When you apply it, it will just give you this result. It is silliness, sorry, that makes people think that way. Thinking that there is a particular formula, there is a particular code to 222 TTT, that when you press it, automatically things will, that all that is a lie. The Holy Spirit knows the situation of every believer. He works with you with what you've got. That's the truth. When he saw that there was a good relationship between Manoah and Puah, the parents of Samson, he spoke first with the wife, and then the wife, who is a humble wise woman, said, "Please, angel, I want to also speak to my husband." You all saw that in the Bible. That the situation was that Manoah, this man and this woman, they were close, they had a good relationship, and so when what something happened to one, he said, "Oh, please, I wanted to also reveal this to my husband." That was not the same situation with Hannah. You saw that Hannah was with her husband and they had a fight with the second wife. The husband was talking to her, "Oh, am I not more than 10 children? Am I not more than this?" And she was not having it. So she left the house with pain in her heart. Then she came to the temple to pray. Why didn't Eli say to her, "Go and bring me your husband"? Was she not the one that Eli spoke to directly and said, "Hey, by this time next year, I'm going to have your baby"? And she had the baby, right? So it wasn't the same formula that you saw with Samson that you are looking at here. Here, Hannah was the one that went to the temple to pray. Hannah was the one that played the role of a priest over her own destiny that she may become a mother. So, the wife saying, "My husband did not pray with me. That's why God has not given me a child." Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. Again, all these things, anything that will give you unnecessary angst and a reason to dislike the person that is supposed to be your best friend, your husband, anything that, if you are looking for to stack up reasons why you should hate him, why did you marry him? Why did you marry him? Why would you marry somebody? I'm speaking to the men too. Why would you marry somebody that from the moment you get married, everything you are counting is her fault? She doesn't know how to defend. She doesn't know how to do. No. Why? Why? You guys shouldn't have gotten married if that is all that you are going to reduce your marriage to. But I see that in many marriages. You talk to a wife, and she wants to talk about her husband, and she'll be counting his fault from morning till night. I'll be like, "But you are married to this person. How can you be married to somebody and all you see about this person are all the negatives? You just stack them. Like if you start talking, you don't know when to stop. You will talk from him to his mother, to his father, to his brother, to his sister, to his prayer life, to how he's nurse, to what is the problem? You didn't know what marriage is supposed to be. You didn't know. And if you are here and that is how you programmed yourself, please unburden yourself. The load you are carrying is killing you. All the faults are loads. They are like a camel. You carry all this load. My husband is not this. He's not. He's not this. He doesn't come on time. No. Drop it. Please. There's nothing like a simple, peaceful life to make a believer live long and achieve purpose in life. All these unnecessary loads are unnecessary. You should just get rid of them. Rid yourself of these things. Pharaoh had his faults. You never saw Joseph complaining about Pharaoh. Nebuchadnezzar had his faults. You never saw Daniel complaining about Nebuchadnezzar. David had his faults. You never saw Hushai complaining about it. you pay attention to how those who God has given the wisdom operates or operated under very dangerous leaders who do not listen. So remember that today I'm talking about unreasonable leadership. So if you are here and you have a relationship and the person you are with is extremely unreasonable, it doesn't give you the room to say, "Oh, I will meet you two for two." I always say something. See, the lady was talking to me and she said, "Oh, he cheated on me. So I cheated back." I was like, "Oh, just get out of my office. Stand up, leave. I don't want to hear anything from you anymore." But I went and said, No, please. I do not like foolishness. Now, I'm patient to a level that there are some things I'm not patient with. When you declare yourself foolish, I will never be patient. I'm not somebody you want to talk to. I'm not your pastor. I'm not your leader. I'm not your teacher. I'm not your rabbi. I'm not your friend. I do not do anything with foolishness. Just pack your bag and leave. It is the most stupid thing anybody can ever say to me. Why? Somebody has a surname. I have a surname. Somebody has an identity in Christ. I have my identity in Christ. Then this person did something that is absolutely unchristlike. And then I will go and do the same because of the person. I can never, that kind of thinking, I cannot allow it to survive in my environment. It is not how a normal person thinks. It is shouting so loud of foolishness. It will make me deaf. I do not want to get deaf, so I just told her to excuse me. After a few days, she wrote back that I've been God. You sent me out. I said, "Yes, even if you went to God with that kind of talk, God will cast you out. Get out. Why would you behave like that? Because somebody misbehaved, then you chose to. Why? Like, I do not even understand the logic behind it. There was no logic, there was no sense, there was not even emotion. You are just sheepish. No. That is sheepishness. Acting without thinking anything through. No, Daniel did not behave like that. When you have bad advisors, as a leader, you do terrible things. Many of you remember how some people conspired to go to the king in the book of Daniel, and they told the king that he should make a decree. And that everybody should worship him. A good leader knows that that is terrible. But the king signed it because he saw that they were sycophants and he felt it would make him greater than he really was. But what was the advice meant to achieve? To kill the wisest of them all, who has been the strongest supporter of the king, the strongest help the king had. It was after the king had signed the decree that the king realized that they used him. So why would a husband not want the wife to be wise? If she's not a wise wife, you are in trouble. You need a wise woman to be your wife. And the fact that she's a wise woman means she wouldn't come at you with cloaks and daggers drawn. That she would, like Daniel, pick the timing of her engagement, and when she will speak, she knows she will listen. If, however, you decide that you are not going to listen, you are going to sign the decree anyway, then whatever the repercussion is, you must own it. You have to understand how it works. Look at King. Was this Artis or Ahasuerus, the husband? Ahasuerus, the husband of Esther. Look at how Haman was able to come into the palace and tell him that he should kill people. Just told him, I will pay for it. Just kill one third of your population, or maybe one quarter of your population. Kill them. And the king didn't look at it and say, why should I just kill? These people pay taxes. They work in farms. They help our economy. I should just kill all of them. The king did not think twice. Sometimes I look at it and say, my God, people can be very foolish. Like somebody will come to you and say, Rabinga, remove this person from the ministry. Remove that person from the ministry. The case just run out. This person has done something wrong. Don't talk to him again. Who are you? Like, why if you talk to me like that? I just look at them, I just shake my head. They are like, hey man. No, hey man, who just wants to destroy people because he didn't like them? And that king was foolish enough to sign. Unreasonable leaders, unreasonable husbands, unreasonable bosses at work, unreasonable church leaders. Without good counsel, they will make terrible decisions. Look at Saul. When David left the palace, look at his decision making. Look at how he killed all the priests of Nob. Look at how he killed the people that came in the days of Joshua to come and submit to Joshua, and they had a pact with them. Look at how he began to kill them, and he brought famine onto Israel. Why? Because he was making terrible decisions, because the God was not with him. The spirit that was with him was an evil spirit, and that spirit was guiding him to just be into error, 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 error. But when David was there, he wasn't making those errors. Because David at the time was submitted under him, and David was giving him good counsel. It was when he tried to kill David that he began to go into full tilt error. Submission is not weakness. The one who has submitted is the one with the true wisdom. The duty is because the two of them are signed to a destination or a vision. Husband and wife signed to a vision, and somebody must lead. And so the other person would be the voice of reason and the co-pilot. It does not make her weak, does not make her foolish. I don't mind being the submitted one. If I have to, the roles can easily be reversed. It is not compulsory at all because it's the one wearing the trousers. Therefore, he is all wise. That's why you need a Daniel. That's why you need a Joseph. That's why you need an Esther, a Mordecai. All these people submitted to the king in order to help him evolve good policies. Think right, talk right, act right. But you will notice that they didn't go confrontational. They didn't go to the king slapping him. Yeah, why did you sign that decree? Are you thinking at all? Because that's normally what you should say to him. Why would you sign a decree to kill your population? Does it make any sense to sign that kind of a decree? Like, if you are a leader, somebody should tell you, oh, guy, you are not very wise. You signed this thing. How can you sign this document? Did you not read it? But did you notice that that was not what Esther said to the king? Esther did not say to the king, oh, king, thou art very foolish. Thou signed the decree of the killing of the Jewish earth. Are you okay? He didn't say anything like, she just told him, okay. This thing has been done, but this has to be rectified. She came, and the king reasoned with her, and they found a solution without any blame laid on the king. Of course, we knew who signed the document, but see the way they handled it. The king would make foolish decisions, but see the way the submitted ones under him handled it without making him foolish. Because if he felt foolish, he would just cut their head. He really had the power to kill anybody, so they couldn't confront him. But they could guide him. So this is part one of my teaching on submission. If you have an unreasonable husband, an unreasonable partner, a reasonable boss, go read, study Daniel, study Joseph, study Esther, study Mordecai, see the way they evolve policies without confrontation. Stop the confrontational attitude. It will not work. Especially if you want to have a happy home. You want to have a happy marriage. So this is first set of the class dealing with unreasonable spouses, unreasonable leaders in a true submission format. You'll be like Christ. You are the wisdom, the manifold wisdom. And you are going to then be the voice of reason. You will speak, you would act, you will carry yourself in such a way that your words will be waiting in the ears of your husband. I remember when I would see Daniel first. Daniel received the death sentence, and they came to announce to him that you are going to die because the king said we should kill all of you. And Daniel said, "Okay, please, can you tell the king to give me 24 hours?" You see? You see? He didn't say, "How can sign that? What?" He just said, "Can we have 24 hours?" And then in 24 hours, it was before the king kind of solved the problem. You see? That's how somebody who is truly submitted behaves. That is the way submission works, even among believers, even in the church, even with your church leaders, even in the home. That is how it will work. I'm praying for you that as you learn and you walk with the Lord, your eyes will open to the things I couldn't even share, and that you would begin to evolve in your character, your behavior, your understanding in your marriage and in your home. You will change the dynamics. Where there has been too much resentment and anger and angst, you will reset it. You would evolve into a voice of wisdom that your husband, your wife, your daddy, your boss can easily come to rely on when they are in the midst of a storm. The hand of the Lord is perpetually upon you. You are going to prosper and you'll be full of wisdom. Glory to God for always answering our prayers, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout,
Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.